In our most recent update, we are learning that not only did the suspect in the New Orleans truck attack go through a very popular area of New Orleans and kill 14 people, injuring dozens of others, but it sounds like very pre-planned, in the sense that reporters in New Orleans are telling us he also planted bombs around that area, and thankfully they did not detonate and hurt more people. And so I wanted to talk briefly with Congressman Jim Himes about terrorism in this country, quite frankly. I know, Congressman Himes, welcome back. You said you were briefed actually this week by FBI. What can you tell us in regards to this most recent attack in New Orleans, but also separately what happened in Las Vegas? Because in both situations, it sounds like it was terrorism in our country.
Yeah, and there's a lot of lessons, and thanks for having me back on, Melissa. There's a lot of lessons that we're learning coming out of these things, everything from ranging from, you know, the fact that the streets in on Bourbon Street in New Orleans were actually protected by technology designed bollards to keep precisely this from happening. And guess what? They weren't working. I mean, man, what an indictment. To the fact that, and we were just talking about this, Melissa, you know, a lot of Americans think, and we were all so tragically and horribly and deeply affected by 9/11. A lot of people think, and Hollywood sort of, you know, exacerbates this, that terrorists is, you know, bad guys coming in from abroad to fly planes into the World Trade Center to set up bombs. You know, in both of these cases, not only were these Americans who did this, they both were U.S. Army, one active duty, one veteran. You know, so not only were they Americans, they were Americans who took oaths to uphold and sustain our Constitution. And you know, sadly, when you look back at the various attacks, there was one at Fort Hood, certainly the Oklahoma City bombing of many years ago. What you realize is that you know, what we think of as terrorism is often not what's really killing people, not the kind of terrorism that's killing most Americans, which is Americans actually getting radicalized. Mm-hmm. You know, in New Orleans, this guy, before he did it, a couple hours before he did it, he put up a Facebook post pledging allegiance to ISIS and explaining his view of the war between the believers and the non-believers. Now, we don't think that he had actually had any contact with ISIS people in Syria or wherever they are. So anyway, one of these lessons is that, you know, sadly, the real lethality often comes from Americans getting radicalized one way or another.
So that's an interesting thing you just said, Congressman Himes. If it's not coming directly from ISIS members or people in Syria, for example, then how are they getting radicalized?
Well, there's probably a lot of reasons for that, right? And you'll remember that the individual at Fort Hood was a very similar situation. You had a military guy who, in his case, was looking at videos, recruiting videos, propaganda videos online. So there's probably a bunch of reasons. There's probably a bunch of psychological reasons. I mean, I'd like to imagine that most people can't make the leap between being, you know, normal law-abiding Americans and killing Americans on behalf of ISIS or whatever. You know, some people, I guess, have the psychological makeup to do that. But I suspect that very high on that list of items of radicalization is the garbage, the propaganda that exists on social media. My guess that might be one of the biggest reasons.
Interesting. And again, we have Congressman Jim Himes here. And, you know, back to one of your initial points, Congressman Himes, when you said the idea in our minds of what terrorism looks like. I mean, it unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I immediately, when I hear about what happened in New Orleans this week, and immediately, you know, the president comes on and says pretty quickly that this was a terrorist attack. To me, I think back to, gosh, over a decade ago, the Boston Marathon bombing, where both brothers in that situation, American terrorists, same sort of situation. So I feel like we are starting to see this. I don't know if it is as highlighted as it should be, but I don't know if you agree. Do we put enough of an emphasis in knowing that this is a real risk in monitoring and understanding what people are doing in their online lives? Because unfortunately, we have seen this. But you're right. I don't know if people realize how prevalent it really is in America.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's funny. I answered this question a lot yesterday. You know, as the lead Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, I spend almost all of my time thinking about how the CIA and the NSA and, you know, 14 other groups with lots of initials try to identify terrorist threats abroad. And when we're doing that, when we're worried about some group in Syria, where we are, man, do we have tools, right? We can pull down emails, we can pull down texts, we can pull down phone calls inside the United States. Everybody has constitutional rights. The federal government cannot, just because you stand on a street, not you, I shouldn't use you as an example, but just because some guy stands on the street and starts shouting that ISIS is a great group, that's constitutionally protected speech. And the FBI can't, you know, start pulling emails without going in front of a judge and indicating that they've got probable cause to believe that a crime it has been or will be committed. And so the net result, and it's a scary net result, but it's due to the fact that in this country we do have constitutional protections. The FBI, the CIA, nobody gets to look into your email without an order from a judge. As a result, it is very, very hard to track down lone wolf actors, right? Now, again, there's still a lot of information coming in, so I don't want to be definitive in anything that I'm saying, but it appears that these two individuals acted alone. They didn't coordinate with each other or with anybody else. You know, when that happens, it's very, very hard to detect. And as a result, sadly, some of these lone wolf attacks end up being successful.
So it's interesting, Congressman Himes, as this was unfolding, I was hearing from some of our law enforcement experts who we work very closely with here on Melissa in the Morning, one of which I'm sure you're very familiar with, Gary McNamara, who was the former chief of police in Fairfield and is now doing government affairs and security over at Sacred Heart University. And when I was talking to him off the air yesterday, he said, you know, this is something that after Sandy Hook, we really invested in the town of Fairfield. They have like these concrete barricades. There are certain mechanisms that they use specifically for these types of vehicle ramming attacks that are unfortunately on the rise in over the last decade. We've seen them more in other countries, but we have seen them here in Connecticut or in the United States. We had just that horrible attack in New York, I want to say 2017, around that time, where, you know, there was a vehicle that went onto a bike path killing people. So we have seen them here. And I'm wondering if you feel like at the federal level, we need to invest more in every state having these types of security boundaries. I'm not saying that we can't do more to crack down on terrorism. That certainly needs to be a focus. But even just at the local level, it does sound like there was a security failure in New Orleans to some degree, because my understanding was there were cop cars, for example, being used as the barriers. He just drove around them instead of having something that literally would have blocked the French Quarter and people just walking in that area.
Yeah. And when we started talking, I mentioned the fact that there are these bollards, you know, they're actual physical barriers that rise up in a street and block it off. And apparently those bollards were not working.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, I hope some folks are held deeply accountable for that, because, you know, obviously they recognize that there was a threat there. So, yeah, I mean, the answer to your question is absolutely. And you know, every time there is an event, whether it's a Super Bowl or, you know, whatever it may be, a graduation at Sacred Heart, you know, the security people realize that's a particularly dangerous event because you have a high concentration of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's two problems that are hard to solve, though. Number one, you know, these bad guys are not stupid. So when there's one very heavily protected environment, they go and they'll find another less protected environment. And to be fair, you know, this New Orleans thing is outraging me about these bollards. But, you know, think about schools. You know, Melissa, if you and I had tried to walk into a local elementary school 25 years ago, we would have walked right in.
Exactly.
Now, of course, it's very hard to get into a school. And so, you know, again, there's always a problem in that it's, you know, unless you want your country to look like Beirut or Northern Ireland, you know, it's really hard to just protect everybody everywhere all the time.
Mm.
And that leads me to an observation, which is, you know, I here I'm sort of out over my skis because it's not my area of expertise, but it does feel to me like we should do a better job trying to identify those people who have the attributes. And I don't even mean police, right? I'm still haunted by that kid who did the shooting at Sandy Hook.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This kid was so obviously screwed up. And you know, I should be more careful about the language I use, but this kid obviously had such brutal mental issues. He was going to school. You know, there were, I think, in many cases, I think there's lots of people around somebody who is alienated and angry. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the police should investigate these people, but, you know, my guess is, and like I said, I'm out over my skis here, that a lot of these people are so disturbed, so alienated, so angry that somebody in their lives might just say, hey, what's going on, you know, and engage that person and you know, maybe get them the help that they need.
Well, that is the situation with Sandy Hook, Congressman Himes. I mean, I think that's why, you know, for so many years, people couldn't understand why isn't the Sandy Hook shooter's mom ever included in the victims list. And it's because she knew. She knew the problems. In fact, in so many documentaries, it was so clear that she was a huge reason why he was triggered, because she wanted to move away or something. I mean, that it's exactly what you're saying. You know, we talk about see something, say something, but I agree with you. It's kind of outside of what I could talk on. But what my understanding is it's like you could see something, say something, and tell a cop, but what do they then do with that? That's the other problem, is it's like, well, then what do you do? Because like you just said, you could go on a street corner and yell that ISIS is real and that you agree with them. But nobody really can do anything with that. And by the time they do, it's sort of too late.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say nobody could do anything. We've got kids. I've got two girls in their 20s that I helped raise, you know, that I helped raise along with my wife. I think there's a lot that can be done that isn't law enforcement, you know, and I know you need to be really careful here because, you know, look, I was sort of, you know, we all run through periods when we're adolescents and in puberty where we act a little crazy and stuff. So you got to be real careful about not saying that a kid who, you know, refuses to see friends for 3 months has some mental illness.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. You got to be really careful about that. But on the other hand, you know, parents and church groups and little league coaches, there's just lots of people around other people that can, you know, just take a kid aside and say, you know, I'm haunted by the possibility that maybe this kid at Sandy Hook could have been taken aside by a clergyman, by a little league coach, by somebody just to say, hey, how you feeling? What's going on? And engage in a way that maybe brings down the level of desperation a little bit. And that's not going to be the solution to everything. You know, the guys on 9/11 weren't going to get talked out of committing a brutal terrorist attack by a little league coach. But I think, you know, particularly in the area of in the era of social media, where all of us, particularly our young people, are spending most of their waking hours staring into a screen, often at garbage, maybe we can do better there.
Congressman Himes, I really appreciate having this open conversation with you. I know I want to talk about a lot of local matters, and maybe the next time you come on, we could talk more about, you know, what's happening specifically here in Connecticut as well. But a really important conversation to have, and always love getting your expertise on this, especially from where you stand in Washington, D.C., and your correspondence with, you know, entities like the FBI. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Melissa. Great being on with you, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. You too. That's Congressman Jim Himes here on WACC.